It's so good to see you here in worship at the launch. My name is Dee Dee Roberts. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. My colleague, Nick Schimmer, is opening up the service in the sanctuary. Somewhere in the middle, for those of you who are guests, you'll notice that we switch places. We have two services going on at the same time, and right now I'm preaching both of them. So you'll see Nick come in and me go out, and if all things work well, the band will not have to play an extra song, Caleb will not have to do a dance, and we'll be all ready to go. Friendship pads are located on the aisles of the, chairs. Please do sign in today, especially if you're a guest. We would love to have some information on how to contact you. We want to tell you more about the mission of Asbury United Methodist Church and the ministries here that can help you grow in your relationship with God and find ways to meaningfully serve in the world. Next week, back to school bash. There's so much going on next week. Third graders will receive their Bibles and begin attending worship with parents from here on out so that they can begin to learn to be Christians and how we worship and how we do things. Backpacks, bring your backpacks because we're going to bless them and we have a backpack tag for you. Adults, bring your briefcase, bring your backpack, whatever you carry with you day in and day out, your purse, because we've got a tag for you as well. We want to have a day of blessing. After the 10:45 services, we'll have a picnic lunch, chicken and all the sides that go with it, and we'd love for everybody to stay. This is a great time to bring a friend, a neighbor, grab a third grader, and bring a third grader along. We'll have extra Bibles. We want to give out Bibles. We want to bless people. We want to help all children get a good start on the school year. So, other announcements are in your bulletin, and let's begin worship.
Yeah, so before we begin worship, I was driving here this morning and had like a really heavy heart. With what was going on in El Paso and then Dayton. It's like tragic. And I didn't know how to square feeling the way I was and coming here and leading worship and being happy. And as I was driving here and listening to the news, it occurred to me, I think God just said to me, that it's in these times that we need to praise Him and we need to be happy. But for any of those of you that are kind of struggling with that, like me, we feel that here. This is a safe place, and I want us to worship with all we have this morning. So please stand and invite someone to shake their hand, and let's get worshiping today.
Singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive. You call
out, your love is greater.
Your love is great. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is great. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
Children to come forward. and have a little children's moment, if you will.
Good morning, young friends. Now, y'all need to scoot around this tub here. We'll need this. So, well, this is it. Our summer is coming to a screeching halt. Now, I go back this week. Y'all go back next week. But the good news is we're going to start preparing today and start setting some goals for this school year. And I'm going to start by asking you a question. I don't need you to answer it, per se. I just need you to kind of think about this question. On the sea of life, there are floaters and sinkers. Which are you? Now, as you can see, I have a tub of water here. I have several items with me, and we are going to see if they float or sink. Now, whenever I ask you if it's going to float or sink, what I want you to do, if you think it's going to float, just give me a thumbs up against your chest. If you think it's going to sink, just give me a thumbs down. We got it? Thumbs up means we got it. Sweet. Two of you got it. All right. So, the first thing that I am going to try is this wooden block. It's solid wood, so thumbs up if you think it's going to float, thumbs down if you think it's going to sink. All right, all votes are in, and the wood block is floating. Howie says, that's another lesson. All right, next, I have a metal spoon. So, thumbs up if you think it will float, thumbs down if you think it will sink. All right, votes are in. Let's see. And the metal spoon sank. All right, what else do I have in here? Ooh, I have a Pokemon.
That's not Pokemon.
Turtles can't be ninjas, silly. All right. Either way, Pokemon, Ninja Turtle, whatever it is, it's made of plastic, and we're going to see if it sinks or floats. Poke Ninja. So thumbs up if it floats, thumbs down if it sinks. Sort of, right? Because a sword is actually. All right. We have a sheet of foil. Thumbs up if it floats, thumbs down if it sinks. All right. And it floats. All right. Now here's the trick. I'm going to take the same foil. I'm going to wad it up. Now what's going to happen? Thumbs up if it floats, thumbs down if it sinks. And it still floats. Everyone. All right, so back to our original question, are you floaters or sinkers? Now, I'm not going to actually throw you into the deep end of the pool to find out, but I do think that we can go to the scripture and find some answers. Do you remember the story in the Bible when Jesus fed 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? After he finished feeding the 5,000, Jesus told the disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the lake when he went up into the mountains to be alone and to pray. While the disciples were gone to the other side of the lake in their boat, the wind came up and the water began to get rough. The disciples became afraid and their boat would sink and they would be drowned. Then they looked and they saw Jesus coming toward them, and he was walking on the water. When Peter saw Jesus, he became excited and he said to them, "Lord, if it's really you, let me walk on the water with you." Jesus answered Peter and just said, "Come." Well, Peter climbed over the side of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. Then he began to look around. He felt the strong winds and saw the waves crashing on the boat, and he became afraid and he started to sink. He cried out to Jesus, "Help, save me." Jesus reached out his hand and saved Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to also walk on the water. But when he focused on the storms, he began to sink. We will encounter some pretty rough water. As long as we keep our eyes upon Jesus and put our trust in him, we will be okay. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus and put our confidence in our own ability, we will surely sink. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, when the storms of life come against us, help us to get our eyes on you and to put your trust in you. Amen. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Christ is enough for me. Christ
Father, we ask that you be with Pastor Dee Dee this morning as she comes forward and delivers her message. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts to what you need us to hear today from you, and help it shape us as we walk out of these doors. We can share your love with others. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, band. They're rocking this morning. Thank you so much. Well, you heard in the children's sermon the story of Jesus walking on water out of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm not using that text. I'm using the text out of the Gospel of Mark, which doesn't have the part in it about Peter walking on water. So we're kind of left with a little bit different message, but still a good one. So here's what the Gospel says. Gospel of Mark chapter 6, if you have the New Living Translation, it's page 766 and 767. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that after this was the feeding of the 5,000, by the way. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethesda while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Well, does anyone here not have a story of being caught in a storm on the water? I've got several. But my all-time favorite, and perhaps it's because we're nearing our 33rd wedding anniversary, is what happened just a couple of weeks after Michael and I got married. We went up to church camp with our respective youth groups on Lake Webster in northern Indiana. And on an idyllic afternoon, we decided to check out one of the little sailboats for, you know, a little romantic getaway. Yeah, at church camp, never mind. Neither of us knew a thing, however, about sailing. But we were young and in love, and well, we figured out how to get the sail up, and we figured out how to catch the wind, and within a few minutes, we were sailing beyond the little bay where the camp marina was and headed toward the deeps of Lake Webster. It was absolutely glorious for about 30 minutes. And then a gust of wind suddenly flipped the sailboat over. Thunder began to roll. Rain began pelting down on us. The lightning was flashing here and there, and the white caps made it nearly impossible to right the boat and keep it righted while we got back inside. But then we weren't sure that we should be back inside because it, after all, was an aluminum mast. Well, thankfully, the camp staff rescued us in their little fishing boat, and we rowed in their boat while the sailboat was towed in to the marina. We've never tried sailing again. Now, that experience does help us identify with the gospel story. I think we've all had our lives at one time or another interrupted by a storm. We can all identify with the feeling of rowing hard against winds that seem to be pushing us in other directions. Many of the storms we endured blew up quickly. They came out of the blue. The lump that wasn't there last month. A call in the middle of night. The sound of a horn and screeching tires. But other storms gave us plenty of warning. We knew we hadn't been feeling well. Looking back, we have to admit that we'd been drifting apart. The boss had been warning about layoffs for months. Each of us can describe the storm that kept us up at night, bailing water, struggling to stay afloat, praying for daylight. Because during a storm, we often feel alone and abandoned and afraid. We can't help but wonder if anyone knows or cares what we are really going through, and we are like the disciples, bone weary, rowing 8 hours into the wind for a trip that shouldn't have taken more than a couple of hours at most. We can't see where we're going, and we fear the worst. No, it's not hard to imagine ourselves in this gospel story, a story of struggling in the midst of a storm. But let's not miss the point. For you see, the point isn't the storm. The point is the one on the shore, the one who is watching, the one who is full of compassion, the Lord of the storm. Jesus did not leave the disciples out there in the middle of the lake to struggle alone. Nor did he let the roar of the wind or the height of the waves keep him away. He went out to them. I can just imagine him tromping across the water and facing into the wind as if they were nothing. And he announced to his disciples, I am, don't be afraid. I am. Take courage. I am. The same name, with the same authority and the same love that Moses heard so long ago on that day when he encountered the bush that wasn't burning. But Jesus did something more. After announcing his presence, he climbed into the boat. And the wind stopped. And the waves calmed. And the disciples were amazed because they didn't understand. This is a really hard text. Oh, it's easy if we just identify with the disciples in the storm. But then Jesus walks in, and it gets a little more complicated. Harder, I suspect, because I think our hearts are often as hard as those disciples' hearts were on the boat that night. We don't get Jesus either. Not really. We're afraid of his power. We avoid asking too much for fear he will deliver as much as we ask. Think about it. On that night, in the middle of a storm, while they were rowing against wind and bailing water, not one of the disciples called out to Jesus for help. They had just seen him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. They had 12 basketfuls of leftovers tucked away in the hull of the boat, but it didn't occur to them to cry out for Jesus. Nor did they recognize him when he came. Now, it was dark, and they were distracted. But really? Really, was a ghost more likely to have come out there on the waves than their teacher, whom they had seen heal the sick, give sight to the blind, make the lame leap, and feed 5,000? Mark notes that the disciples' hearts were hard. They could not take in the miracle of the loaves, nor could they process Jesus' obvious power over the wind and the sea. They had seen him break the bread, but they had missed the point that Jesus is the bread of heaven. They had witnessed his power over sickness and demons and winds and seas, but they had missed the fact that Jesus is the power of all creation. They might have been able to imagine that he was from God, but they had missed the point, and they were far from believing that he was God. Even though out there on the sea, he announced himself as God. "I am," he said, as he climbed into the boat, they still did not accept it. And I wonder sometimes, church, do we accept him? Do we get it that God has come into our midst? God did not send a representative. God came. God did not avoid our pain and suffering. God took that suffering and pain on to himself. God does not just observe the storms. God walks on the water, announces his presence, climbs into the boat, and calms the troubled sea. The disciples never asked God for help. They didn't even say thank you when it was all said and done. Yet there was Jesus with them all the way to the shore and on to the next adventure. We all face powerful storms. They threaten our lives. They do keep us up all night. They blow us off course. And we don't have the power to overcome them on our own. But hear this good news. While you row hard and bail water, cry out to the one who sees your struggle. He is the one who has compassion for you, and nothing will keep him from coming to you. The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, has power over every storm. He has sustained you in the past. He holds you even now, and he will never let you go. Not ever. So I invite you in this moment to simply close your eyes and imagine Jesus coming to you. See him walking on the water, parting that dark curtain of fear, pushing away the things that tempt and hold you. And hear him say, "Don't be afraid. I am. I am here." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As the band comes forward, please bow your head and pray with me. Gracious and loving God, this morning we pray for peace in our hearts and in our minds as we seek a break from the distractions that the world lays before us every day. God, we ask you to recenter our hearts, to increase us in spirit, so we may put aside the trappings of the world and find comfort in your love and your love alone. God, this morning we pray for your global church, that you continue to work a mighty act in all those who have come to know you and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray for Christians around the world to wake up in places where they have to keep their faith a secret out of fear for their lives. We pray that you strengthen their resolve as they continue to do your work in the face of danger. God, we also pray this morning for those who have no one to pray for them. We ask that you bring them peace and comfort, that through your love and your mercy, that they can seek healing and find purpose in you. God, this morning we pray for El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio, Gilroy, California, and all of those affected by the senseless and violent acts. We ask that you help us hug our loved ones a little tighter, and that you're with those who have lost children, friends, brothers and sisters, and that your peace give them strength this time. Lastly, God, we give thanks for the power of prayer, for that direct line given to us through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it was your Son, when on the earth, who showed us and taught us the power of prayer. And as the consummate teacher, he showed us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer, which we will now recite together by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, this time I'd like to invite Ms. Diane Wright to discuss what our youth has been doing over the summer and in their service.
Good morning. So many of us think that summer is for fun, and I'm all about having fun, especially just returning from vacation. But our youth group also thinks it's very important to have service projects and to do service work, because people who need service done for them don't take a break during the summer just because we do. So this summer we have done everything from, we have gone to Methodist Family Health to play with the kids who stay at the center in Maumelle, their short-term center. They're there for about a week. We played with them and did a devotional with them. We did some beautification, if you will, of the church right before Pastor Didi and Pastor Nick got here to help their transition come better. We went to the Arkansas Food Bank, and we helped stuff cereal. I've never seen so much cereal in one place in my life. We stuff cereal so that they can then turn that into cereal for their senior citizen kits that go out every Saturday. And there's several other mission items that we did, and we will continue doing as the school year approaches. So when you see a youth member, and as we are about to give our tithes and offerings, thank the youth for going out and being people, the hands and feet of Christ, because we don't believe that the hands and feet of Christ are just in this building. We believe that you have to go out into the world and also show the hands and feet of Christ. So thank them for doing that. And as we give our gifts and we give our tithes and we give our offerings, remember that part of what you all support is your youth group being the hands and feet of Christ. And if you are ever interested in helping with the youth, I am always looking for wonderful volunteers. Just come find me after the service. Call me in the church office. I would love to take you to lunch and talk about that. Thank you.
And I'm sure we talked about next week we have the blessing of the backpacks and the third graders getting their Bibles and the kids graduating up in Sunday school. Well, things really fire into full gear for the youth as well. And our youth program is so critical to their spiritual growth. So as we think about our tithes and offerings and our gifts, our time, our resources, it goes towards things like what Diane was just talking about, which is giving the youth an opportunity to really go out and be the hands and feet of Christ. So as we pray over the offering this morning, keep that in the front of your mind. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks because of the joy of the opportunity to offer our resources to you, God, whether it be our time or our just abilities, our gifts, our talents, and our financial resources. God, it is all a pleasure to provide it to your working kingdom. God, we ask that as we take up our offerings this morning, that we see not what you see, God, but that we see in our church how you are using these resources to move not only today, but to move us tomorrow. We give thanks for the opportunity, and we ask it in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning again. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, and we start with the Great Thanksgiving, we'll have a call and response that will be up on the screen, so please follow along. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and in the Holy Spirit. And on that final night, the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus, in the upper room with his disciples, sat down for a final meal, known only final to him, not to everybody else. And in that moment, in that last moment, he had one great teaching to give. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks to God. He broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Christ took the cup. He gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in holy thanksgiving as a living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Jesus Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ returns in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, we give thanks to you, God, all glory, now and forever. Amen. We've done the Lord's Prayer. So now we move into the time, and I'll have the communion stewards come forward. I am going to serve them. In the United Methodist Church, we recognize a completely open table. Whether you're Methodist or not, whether you're a member of Asbury or not, it doesn't matter. You are welcome here as we partake in communion.
That you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Oh. All I did was stay still.
you today. A couple of things real quick before I get you out of here. I think that Dee Dee might have mentioned this. Starting next week, we really kick off fall here at Asbury. We have the blessing of the backpacks and the promotion of the kids up in Sunday school, third graders get their Bibles. We'll also have a bit of a change. Third through fifth grade is going to start staying with us in worship now, which is going to be amazing. So Kids Club will be 3 through 2nd grade starting next week. We'll have them with us, and it'll be absolutely wonderful. Also, as we get into next week, this whole, you know, the transition, I guess, is over. And Dee Dee may have talked about this. The transition went well, and we've decided that we're going to stay and hopefully stay for a long time. That being said, no more of this jumping around. I will primarily preach in the launch service going forward. We'll switch it up every now and then. But hopefully you come starting next week. We are starting a great series. It's a 3-week series called Great Expectations with the new school year and all the new things going on. It can be a season of anxiety, anticipation, excitement. And it was very much that way for the first Christians. So we're going to look at Acts 2 and the start of Christianity and just talk about all those feelings, because it was very real. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great series. Please join us, and please bring a friend. As you leave this place, serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace.